Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to another episode of Podcast 99 as we are continuing through the Mike Schur universe. It's a sure thing. My name is Jason, and I'm joined all the way across town by the power of the internet by my friend Jeremy. Say hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Jason. How is it going?
It is going so well. It is a beautiful day out here in the Pacific Northwest. There's a song that says the bluest skies you'll ever see are in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, it's a real song.
From whom? Who sings that song?
It's old, before they knew the weather. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say before they knew who wrote songs.
Yeah, it's a public domain. Mr. Domain. Mm-hmm. But for a long time, you might listen to that song if you live out here and be like, what a crock of lies. But then a day like today comes and it's like, oh, it is pretty blue. It is pretty blue.
Is that why you've chosen your ensemble today? You are as blue as the skies of Seattle.
I am wearing a lot of blue today, and partly my ensemble, as the French say, I was wearing this shirt, and then I was like, I need to cut my hair, and I didn't want to do that today. So I was like, I will wear a hat, and this was the one that was closest to where I made that decision. So.
Good.
Yeah,
the proximity hat, excellent.
Yeah, I have hats,
scattered all over around, just in case.
Like, I think I need a hat now.
Yeah, this is my driving hat. This is my I don't want to do my hair hat.
I do have a hat in my car. It's a beanie though, and my dogs sat on it, and so it's covered in dog hair. Anyway, so Jeremy, what's new in your world, in the world of Jeremy Schmidt?
Nothing. I'm here. I'm ready. I feel like this is two in a row, and one more, I think they call a streak. So I'm ready. I'm ready to podcast.
We could call it a three-peat.
We could.
Before the Chiefs get to it, let's do it. Let's three-peat. Well, Jeremy, we're going to talk about
if the Seahawks could have just the memes with Pete Carroll. I mean, we had repeat locked and loaded, failed. The whole thing fell apart. Could have had the three-peat. I mean, it was right there. Run the ball. Okay, what are we doing? What's the...
We're going to talk about season one, episode four.
Too soon.
ME time. Too soon. ME is short for medical examiner, and it's supposed to be read as me time, I guess. Before we jump too far into this whole thing, Jeremy, what were your first impressions of this episode?
I feel like I had seen this one recently, and so I was like, eh. No, I mean it's you know, I kind of like to check on IMDb to see how I feel against the consensus, and I'm right there with them. It's a 7.4. It was funny. There were some really funny jokes. We're still kind of getting to know everybody. They haven't really broken open those returning jokes and gags and stuff like that, so they're still building. The whole idea of Holt being unreadable is probably my favorite part. Terry kind of annoyed me with instantly comparing himself to Picasso, like instantly. But he is a good artist, so there's that. And then Jake, you know, growing up, he just grows up a little bit every episode,
a little too fast in this one.
Yeah.
So
how about you? Where were you at with this one?
Well, I did not really love this episode.
Oh.
I adored it. No.
Twist there. Had me in the first half.
I'm trying to put more positivity out there in the universe and the internet in particular. And so I wouldn't say I hated it. But I didn't. But it was just one of those ones where I was like, oh, this was a show that happened. And I think
what's the driving force behind that feeling?
Well, I just don't like Guts. and
unless you listen to him.
Listen to Guts.
Your gut. You got to listen to your
I follow my gut.
You got to get him back, man.
Yeah.
Where
hey,
are
gut,
they
come
going?
Back.
Where are they going? Anyway, yeah.
So I don't really like blood,
the guts, air bubble,
that whole thing. There's just so much like human body being open in this episode that I'm just like, I'm not really for it.
When the word cavity is being used and it's not about teeth.
Even then.
No.
I was at the dentist yesterday and it was
too soon. You gotta let me know these things. I'm sorry.
I don't have any cavities, but the dentist said we're gonna have to just watch that spot. I was like, well, see you in 6 months. Are you gonna remember? Nobody wrote anything down. Are you gonna remember this in 6 months? I'm not. Am I supposed to be watching it? Am I monitoring this at home?
Don't you get one of those little oil change stickers on the roof of your mouth? Like it lets you know.
Check this out.
Next cavity in 6 months.
I just wasn't crazy about the whole autopsy part. Even now I'm getting a little queasy.
Okay, let's get into it so we can get there and really dig into it.
All right, and really get your hands in there.
Get elbow deep. Let's go.
Oh, gross. And that guy was big enough for elbow deep. So it starts, the cold open starts with
seven jokes. Sorry.
Amy on a date with a guy. That's like a blind date. And
it's a good start.
They start talking about how she's always working, and then she gets a call from work, and it's Jake saying they have a lead on the Nightingale Strangler. And he proceeds to describe her date exactly, even the way he can't get lettuce in his mouth.
He was struggling with that lettuce.
Yeah. Well, lettuce is tricky. It's because, like, it ideally in a perfect situation, you would have the courage to use a knife to cut large pieces of lettuce, right? Why are we not doing that?
I don't think we needed silverware to eat vegetables for centuries. Why start now?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, it's got I was gonna say sauce dressing on it.
Oh yeah, it's got the vegetable sauce on it.
Vegetable sauce. You know, you lettuce comes in so many different sizes and shapes, mm-hmm. and textures. Like, it would just be smart to actually cut the lettuce so that it gets into your mouth and you don't look like an idiot. But we don't do it. I've never seen anybody do it, and I don't have the courage to start. Like, somebody has to be a trendsetter here, and I'm not ready to be that guy.
Let's do it. So, let's get it going.
So, like, you go to your what was formerly known as Bed Bath & Beyond and what is now known as just a indoor pickleball arena.
Empty.
and you have, like, there's all kinds of cutlery available. You got your soup spoon, your spoon. You've got your fork, your salad fork. You've got your oyster fork, all these different things. You've got steak knife, butter knife. There's no salad knife.
I think that's what's your steak knife.
You're going to use a steak knife on a salad? Then you're going to get arrested. Like, whoa, what's up, violent tendencies? Like, we need something between the butter knife and the steak knife.
Yeah, I think it's called having the people in the back chop it up for you. I like chopped salads. Just if I have to eat salad, have to. I'm with Leslie on that one, vegetables.
I had lunch with somebody this week, we're ordering, and he was telling the server multiple times, I don't eat vegetables. And the whole time I'm just sitting there going, who am I eating with right now? What? No vegetables? None.
Ever.
All right. Anyway. So a listener, viewer, if you have a lead on some good salad knives, let me know. If you eat salad with a knife, please get back to us. Subway used to do a thing with their, cause you know, everybody was all, hey, don't eat bread. It's bad for you. And Subway was like, oh, that's not good for our model. And everybody went to salads, right? Bowls.
Yeah. That's why people left Subway.
They try to get people back with the bowls, but they didn't want to call it a salad because it's like, we're a sandwich place, but you can have this, all the stuff in a sandwich without the bread, and we'll put it in a bowl. We won't call it a salad. And they used to have the person like chop it really, really choppy, choppy, chop, chop, chop. They don't do that anymore. They don't like chop it. So they just put all the stuff, all this meat and stuff, like just on top of the lettuce and vegetables. And the cheese, like whole cheese on top. It's like, and they don't give you a knife. They just give you a fork. Like, good luck with that. Yeah. So I'm sitting there in the Subway looking like Amy's date. And like, I wish I had some kind of some kind of Subway salad knife. But anyway,
yeah, you can get some, you can get a salad chopper or a lettuce knife.
Are you looking it up?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like a lettuce knife is like for the table or for the counter?
It's for the counter. Yeah, it's to cut the lettuce first, which I'm just saying that's the best way. You get it done early on.
Yeah, I agree. But like spinach, people don't chop spinach for one of, like if you get a spinach salad, they don't chop it.
That you can just get spinach for a salad?
Yeah, go to your local Mod's Pizzas and you can just get spinach as one of the salad options.
Okay, I trust you.
I like spinach. Okay. I love leaves. Anyway, so Jake has found out, and one of the things that I am enjoying about this this particular transcript that we have is anything that is potentially flaggable for like warning content or anything. Like this is a medical term for the human body, penis. Mm-hmm. Instead of writing out the word, they put a one where the I should be. but then later they'll talk about human intercourse, and instead of an E in sex, they'll just put an asterisk. Like, we all know what you're doing here, friend. I don't know. Anyway, whoever made this transcript is ridiculous.
Pen ones.
Yeah. Pen ones. I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep moving because they
keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Jake,
enough salad talk.
Yeah, Jake's date leaves because he's also at the restaurant. That's how he sees Amy's date and all this stuff. And he's pranking Amy. Date leaves, and he's like, "It's totally worth it." So then they go back to the briefing room again. Great way to set up the episode every single time. I love it so much. Jake is celebrating that he had closed 5 felony cases in 1 week, which is a big turnaround from last week's PMOLs that he was in. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing much better. And so one of the ways that he celebrates is by putting Mentos, having Boyle put Mentos in Diet Coke and completely destroying the roof or the ceiling of the bullpen, which would be terrible and gross. Terry comes in, he's like, all right, updates on cases. And Charles has a DOA, dead on arrival, that he's going to solve. And so Terry assigns Charles as the primary and Diaz as Peralta as secondaries, Charles is excited about it, but later we'll see that he should go in warned of it all. And then we also get Captain Holt. He's concerned about the crime stat numbers, and so needs all statistics due on their cases, and tells Scully in particular, you can just write, I didn't close any on a piece of paper.
You got it.
So, which is one of those things where it's like, this cop, he's terrible, mm-hmm. but he's union. It's like, any cop who's not closing cases, like, why is he still here? That's because he's a union cop. It'd be real hard to fire him. So Holt is upset and frustrated, and people are like, I can't read him very well. And so and Amy's like, no, we have a good relationship, we're on the same page, we're gonna get through to him. So this is where the plots are going today, Jeremy. There's the Holt line,
yep.
with Amy, and Amy trying to figure out what's Holt's bugaboo, and the Charles, Jake, Rosa line, mm-hmm. dealing with this dead body, and Jake's being a bad team member. So, yeah. Those are the two paths. Which path would you like to go first?
I think, excuse me. I think we should do the Holt path first, because it leads into because it leads into the Jake. No, not the whole, sorry, not the whole point. Let's do the Boyle and Jake as a secondary, because it also leads into Jake not being a good secondary. And then I like the end of like Holt's thing, because the way it wraps up is really nice.
All right, let's do it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's do it. So Jake is Amy is saying to Boyle, like, hey, Peralta's a terrible secondary. Jake is like, no, that's not true. I'm great. And so it flashes back to Amy interrogating a suspect in the interrogation room. And she's asked a question. And Jake is just yelling from the other side of the glass, ask about the bank accounts. And then pounding on the glass. And he breaks it because he wants that question answered. And he's not sitting back and letting Amy run the interrogation. And so Jake's like, no, I'm going to be great. And I'm going to follow orders. And, you know, I can go on and on. And so Jake is excited, pretending to be excited. And Charles is very excited, calls him Jake in the box and doesn't want it. But he's like, and then he continues being a good secondary by saying, okay, never call me that again. I'm driving. We should leave now. Carry my bag. But you should pick the music primary. And he's singing a song from a musical.
Oliver.
Is it from Oliver?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And Jake seems to be dying when this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to the apartment. What?
That's the natural response to a musical.
Yeah. What's your least favorite musical?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
But this is not the platform for that. We'll talk about it later.
All right, let's talk about it with your therapist.
Off the air.
So they get.
Where are you? Do you like musicals?
There are some that I like. I really like Hamilton, but I may have been Stockholm syndromed into it.
It's true. You guys had that on repeat for a while.
It was on so much. And there are things that are good about it. Here's the thing that drives me nuts, though. My wife, whom I love, cannot for the life of her listen to an album in order.
Does she watch musicals out of order?
No, but like in the car, she'll listen to Hamilton, but her default setting is shuffle. And she loves to shuffle because it's never the same, right? And she's
right. And you're a history guy, so linear storytelling.
Yeah. It's like, this didn't happen next. So just, it's like, it's like, we're going on a long drive this weekend. We're going to Idaho. And I just know that she's going to say, we're going to get bored with whatever we're listening to. It's like, how about I put on Hamilton? And she's going to put it on shuffle. And we're going to have this whole conversation. It's like, if we listen to it, can we just listen to it front to back? And it won't happen. So,
we got to get to the good stuff.
But when will that happen?
When it gets shuffled in. It's the mystery of Hamilton.
I just want to be in the room where it happened, where somebody invented shuffle and just like remove them from history.
Shuffle is great for playlists, but not albums.
Right. That should just be taken off. If you're playing an album, mm-hmm. It should just take that function away.
Sure.
It can't be that hard.
Right.
Spotify. You know, we work for you now, essentially. You host our podcast. I know you're listening. Can you just take shuffle off of album? We'll wait.
I'm excited for the AI transcript of this one.
Yeah, Jason is going to Spotify. Listen, Mr. Spotify of the Spotify family. So so they arrive at the guy's apartment, and he was a very large man. And Jake says, I wonder what killed him. Spoiler alert, it was not starvation. And so Jake and Charles at the same time start asking questions like, what do you got? And Jake is like, oh, sorry, you're the primary, you're in charge. Gets the stats on the situation. Wife found him in the morning, called it in. And Charles, any sign of force entry? And Jake's like, looks like maybe his belt had a pretty epic struggle with his stomach. And the officer laughs. So Rosa is trying to get Charles in charge of his days and his light nights.
Hey.
And he asks, what do you think of Boyle? And Charles starts talking, and then Jake just kind of runs over him and gives all the instructions on all the different things that need to happen. Like who's going to check what rooms, all that different stuff. And he walks away, and Charles is like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Exactly. It's so weird how good he is at knowing what I was going to tell him to do. And Diaz is just like, come on, bro. You take charge of yourself. So, but Charles will never do that. Even if he is Charles in charge. I wonder if they chose Charles because he's never in charge.
Not in charge.
And it's a twist on that classic Charles trope. There's no way to know. So, back and continuing at the apartment, Jake has been making lots of jokes about this guy being fat, and Rosa confronts him on that and bulldozing Charles. And so Jake's like, well, look, the officer appreciates my jokes. I'm doing great. And Rosa's like, just shut up and just hang back and let Boyle do his job. So he's like, fine, I'll just stand here like a motionless, wise old oak tree. Oh my
gosh. It's you have teenagers or have had, you know, they're basically, why is it that when you tell a kid to do something that they don't, and then it's just like, well, you just, all you got to do is just this little bit more, just do this thing. And so then they go, oh, I'll just crank this up to 15 then. And then they just do the absolute, like, hey, you got to, you know, clean up, you know, just be a little bit. And then like, fine. And they start running around. Like they do, they just swing the absolute opposite direction as to say, see, I'll show you I can. And why children?
Man.
Jake is a 14-year-old kid. That's all. That's all.
He is. The only puzzle he hasn't solved is how to grow up. So
it's true.
I can't answer that question. I think we all have different parenting experiences and my kids are angels. So, I'm joking. They're not. Angels are, I have a whole thing on angels. Don't worry about it. But where
now,
are we at?
No, I'm kind of, well, you know what? I think every week, let's get a little bit more into your theory on, or your thoughts on angels.
It's very simple.
Uh-huh.
I'll just share it right now. And I share this on Sunday at church. When I go to a funeral and I hear somebody say, this person became an angel.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's theologically wrong. And angels are actually less than human in God's created order. And it drives me nuts when people say that. So,
but also super, super scary looking, right?
Angels, yeah. Like,
do they have like a whole bunch of eyes and wings? And
yeah, sometimes. The Sphinx in Egypt is probably what angels look like in the Bible. Right? And so.
Just no nose.
Yeah. Napoleon's troops shot the nose off all the angels.
So, hanging out in the desert. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway. Oh, that's cool. No. I'm glad we
So it just drives me nuts when people say stuff like that. So yeah, and it doesn't, you can't really say that when you're doing the funeral. Like, listen, Frank, your grandma is not an angel. Stop it. At the open mic part. Like, people do not like that. The open mic. So
it's just like out of set.
Yeah, I go to like the Shanghai Room in Greenwood and I do an open mic set. And one of the things they say now is like, hey, everybody, remember, this is a hate-free open mic. So, you know, don't punch down and all that stuff. So I'm going to start doing that at funerals. Remember, everybody, this is a heresy-free open mic. So remember, your dead loved one who you love is not an angel. Mm-hmm. Now say something. And everybody who was going to, I'm just going to sit down. All I had to say was, I guess God needed another angel. No. Anyway, where are we at? So Jake is pretending to be a tree, and the Charles is asking the wife, Mrs. Patterson, about all that's going on, and she talks about how he just booked a cruise they were going to go on together, and he purchased the unlimited soda package.
Whoa.
And Charles, in one of his best jokes so far, is, I'm sure the soft drink industry mourns his passing. But then as Jake is standing there, he sees a very beautiful woman come in and she starts to investigate the body. And so turns out it's the medical examiner, Dr. Rossi, and she's new. And so Jake starts hitting on her right by a dead body, which.
Literally on a dead body.
Yeah, he slides off the tarp at one point, which is.
What's up?
So gross. So gross. Dead bodies, just leave them. That's my
that's your public service announcement.
Yeah, just don't. I think I saw it after the end of a G.I. Joe one time. Like, don't try to jump your bike over down power lines. Don't go swimming in a
leave dead bodies ocean
when there's a thunderstorm and dead bodies. Don't touch them.
I think that was at the end of Stand By Me when they all.
Oh, man, yeah. That movie messed me up so bad. Because when they finally reveal the dead body, it's just staring. Up, it's just the face of the kid, And that I was not ready for that when I saw that. It was.
Just remember, he's an angel now.
I can't believe you. All right. So back at the precinct, Holt asks how Patterson case is going. And Boyle says, it looks like natural causes. I'll let you know once I get the autopsy results in. Jake is all over this with the Emmy. And cut to Jake actually on a date with Dr. Rossi instead of Dr. Rossi doing the autopsy. And yeah, things are going well at this date. So the next day at the precinct, Boyle is like, I still haven't heard anything from the ME. ME. Every time I say that, I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
And ME? Because that's your,
that's my niece's name.
Yeah, Emmy.
But it always is, it's two letters and I'm looking at it. Anyway, it's hard to say it right in my brain. And so Jake's like, oh, that's strange that she hasn't got the autopsy report yet. And so Charles's like, all right, well, just let me know. And then Jake goes and talks to Rosa and Amy and says, hey, can you guys keep a secret? The reason the autopsy report's not done is because I slept with the medical examiner last night. Is that weird? Is that bad? And it is bad. And then there's flashbacks about how weird it really was. Like as they were getting intimate, she put ice cubes on his lips saying, I like them cold. And it was weird. And then it gets to a point where he's playing a dead body on the ground with his leg akimbo. And he's a super dead guy. So how long has he been dead? 4 days. Ew, gross, stinky. A couple hours. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's very weird. Everything about it is very, very weird. And so Rosa and Amy are both like, hey, you should definitely end this and you got to get back on track with the case. And Charles comes up, what are you guys talking about? And Jake, oh, just some weird sex stuff. It has nothing to do with your work. And Charles like, I once had sex on a futon. It was in couch mode. Charles, you are a wild man. So then Holt he's kind of frustrated throughout this episode and he really wants the paperwork on the Patterson case. And he's like, it's supposed to come in first thing, but so far nothing. This is unacceptable. And he's like, I'll call the Emmy myself. And Jake's like, no need. I'll go take care of it. Holt is like, good, but don't ever but me again. Right. I don't know. And then he goes, but just go. So Jake goes to try to get that report. Boyle is doing the case and he's like, Rosa, can I show you something? Patterson's wife told me they were going on a cruise, but a credit card bill is only one ticket booked. You know, she's lying or she knew he was going to die. And Rosa's like, huh, interesting. And so instead of just a natural causes, this could be a murder, which opens up a whole body of worms.
If you're going to take somebody out, make sure that you buy two cruise tickets.
I know it seems like a waste.
Evidence. But it could keep you out of jail.
Yeah. We're here to help. Yeah. So.
And the soda package is a good investment. I mean,
you know, I went on a cruise and all the soda was included.
Oh, that's even better.
So I was like, this doesn't ring true to me. That's one of the reasons why I don't like this episode. A lot of gut stuff and soda's cheap. Come on. Yeah, it's the booze package where things get super expensive. I did not buy that because I don't drink booze.
It was just a cruise. It was a soda cruise.
It was just sitting out there by Alaska. Where are we? Sorry. So Boyle is pretty stoked because Jake went down to the Emmy himself to get the information, but he still hasn't come back. So he's like, huh, interesting. And Rose is like, oh, Jake went down there? And so they go to see what's holding him up. And when they arrive, Dr. Rossi is puts her lab coat on really fast, and Rosa points out your shirt's buttoned weird, and is like, oh yeah, sure is. And so she starts looking around, and Charles is like, we came to get the autopsy report. Is Peralta here? And she's looking, Rosa's looking, and then she hears a cough in one of the slabs in the morgue, in one of the body refrigerators. Ugh, gross. And so he's caught, he's in there, and he's just in his boxers, which is really gross. Everything about that idea of having an intimate moment in the morgue is just wrong.
And how cold is that metal table?
She likes them cold. So Jake is like, sorry, we didn't know this wasn't anything major. It's all natural causes. And Boyle's like, no, we think it could be a murder. I'm like, a murder? Or his mouth murdered him by making him eat so much food that his heart exploded. So it's a murder. And so like, we have to do the autopsy to be sure. So Jake is like, look, I messed up. I'm going to stay here and I'll be her assistant. And then it cuts to a bunch of gross stuff, like being told to hold the chest cavity open for her. And you know, there's a signs of stress, which isn't surprising. Look at that stomach lining. That's just a beaut. Oh, and then
death bubble.
Yeah. Is that in this part or is it that next part?
Dibs on band name.
Death bubble. You got it, man. You got it. So yeah. So they, yeah, just a lot of gross autopsy stuff. And Jake is having a hard time with this.
Yeah.
Where he's just,
you're not the only one.
He's over. Like, he's like, this was not a good idea. And so then Rossi points out that the liver has scarring on it, which means that it was probably poison ingested. And so Jake's like, Boyle's right. All right, I'm going to go tell him. And then Ross is like, or we could stay for a little post-mortem. And Jake's like, no, that's a bad idea. I'm out of here. So, So Charles gets the wife to come in into the interrogation room and says, we know you killed your husband, that the cruise was planned for one, plus the autopsy showed clear signs of poison. And Jake's like, and for the record, the inside of his body was very gross. Charles like, why did you do it? Come to find out, this man was having a lot of affairs. He was a real Don Juan. And Jake asked for permission to make a fat joke, and his joke is Don Flan. So Charles like, that's great. You're under arrest. That is that. I have a problem in my notes that must be addressed. Not must be, but no. I am addressing it. So they go to the bar and they are celebrating the solve of this case. Charles is just pretty happy. It's just a wonderful moment. They start singing a song.
I feel like this was ad-libbed.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Yeah. They're just having a good time celebrating the everything, and Rosa is like, are you sure you're not gonna, Jake's gonna go and he's like, are you sure you're not gonna sneak off for some more weird dead guy sex? Like, no, never again. And we never have to talk about that. And so Rosa's like, good, I hate small talk, let's drink in silence. So, and that's the end of the episode and the end of that storyline. So yeah, the death bubble was probably what put me over the edge. You know, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to hear about death bubbles. And that was enough. That's how that song goes.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
No. Yeah. Thank you. I'm good at that. So the other plot line then is Amy trying to figure out, why is Captain Holt in such a bad mood? Who can tell? Because he's hard to read. He's like a robot. Meet Morp, right? So he's staring at a picture of himself in his uniform on the precinct wall. And he's like, it's a great picture. And he says, I hate it. Me too. So is Amy's response. And so she is trying to update him on a case, and she needs a sketch artist, but the sketch artist is out sick, and so he's just like, figure it out, it's your case. So just kind of cold, and she's like intimidated by this, and so she starts to bow. And he's like, are you bowing? No, this is how I walk. And so she walks by Rosa, and she's like, what do you need, Quasimodo? And he's like, is there something wrong with the captain? It seems like he's in a bad mood. He's like, I don't know, who can tell? And then some cat flashbacks where Rosa talks to the captain. You all right, captain? Tough weekend? And he's like, just straight. I went to Barbados with my husband. We wove hats out of palm fronds and swam with the stingrays. I've never been happier. So, yeah. So he is hard to read. And he cuts to him on the side of the room. He's like, that is without question the funniest story I've ever heard.
With the same expression of, yeah.
I am going to start doing that more. That is without question the funniest story I have ever heard. So Amy goes and asks Terry, you know, she's like, I noticed you're really good at doodling. And this is the part that you don't like, where Terry's like, I know you think you're complimenting me, but calling them doodles is an insult. You big fan of Picasso's doodles, which they do look like doodles. Anyway, here's the deal with Picasso, in my opinion. He's really good. Like, he has some really good, like, traditional depictions of people. And then the war happened, and his brain broke. And everything got real weird for old Pablo. That's my that's what I think happened. What do you think happened to Pablo Picasso?
I think he's an artist, and you just can't, The guy, he's just like, you know, I would say like Van Gogh, well, which gets mentioned later, you know, these guys were really good traditional artists because that's how you learn first. And then they go off and try to put their mark on the art world. And I think that's where things go and either works or doesn't. So,
yeah, it works for him.
Cause Van Gogh is really, really good at traditional like portraits and things. And then, you know, I don't know, he went crazy. Yeah. And then his work got really good.
Yeah.
Or weird. However you want to say it.
Yeah, we
I think absinthe and drugs helps or hurts. Was he
drinking a lot of absinthe?
What's that?
Was he drinking a lot of absinthe?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think that was part of it, yeah.
I don't know. Jocelyn and I went to New York years ago, 5 years ago, and we saw Starry Night at the Museum of Modern Art. It is a really cool painting.
Mm-hmm.
And to see it from 8 feet away was really something, because there were so many people around it taking a picture of it. It's like, you know, that picture's online,
right?
A better, you probably a better picture have, than you'll ever take.
You probably have one on your Starbucks coffee mug. So
yeah. It's like, why are we all taking pictures of this? Let's just look at it. And let Van Gogh's art be its art. So, yeah. So Amy's asked him to do a perp for a perp sketch. And she's like, Captain wants this done right away. He's in a really bad mood. And Terry's like, is he? I can never read him. And Terry, flashback, you look chipper, Captain. You have a fun weekend? His response, there was a small fire in my home. I lost many photo albums of treasure memories. I'm devastated. So same tone all the way through. And so Terry agrees to do this. And she brings the victim over, and it's a perch snatching. And so lady's like, yeah, he had dark curly hair, neck tattoo. He's like, wait, slow down. Let's start with the eyes. Were they desperate? Lonely? Did they betray heartache? They were brown.
Do you even want your perch back?
They were brown.
Come on, lady.
So
that's her character's name, lady.
Yeah. You know, in working with artists, sometimes they ask questions that are important, but not urgent. This is crime, man. Were they desperate, lonely? It's like, this is an important question. I get it. But the urgency of the situation is we don't have time to get the emotional read on this bro. So anyway, that's They're fun.
Wait, what other questions have artists asked you? I'm just curious.
When is this due? Interesting. Like right away.
Sometimes artists just, you know, they art and they don't really realize what day or week or month it may be.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, people live in different worlds, you know, it's interesting.
It's true.
And they approach the world differently. Like, you know, Pablo.
For it. Yes, that's the mashup we needed.
Pablo Picasso is, you know, he's like, hey, for a long time, everybody's faces were like on the front. But I'm going to put these faces on the side now.
Yeah.
It's going to look great. And their mouth will be over their nose. It's fine. And everything kind of looks like a bull now. So Amy's like, Sarge, are you done? These are fine. Let's keep moving. And it's like, it's questions like that that made Van Gogh cut his ear off. You can't put an art on clock on a clock on art. And she looks at him. Come on. 10 minutes. So she's wanting to catch this bad guy so they can give some Holt some good news to cheer him up. And Scully is like, well, how do you even know he's in a bad mood? I mean, it's impossible to read that guy. And flashback to Holt yelling at Scully, this is the most incompetent, worthless report I have ever read in my life. Get your act together or so help me God, you won't live to see retirement. Scully's like, it's like, what's that guy thinking, you know?
So, rule of three,
it's perfect example, but it, like, so stretched out that you don't know the rule of three is happening,
right?
But it is like pattern, deviate the pattern, right. Hard. So he's like, who can know what he's thinking? And Amy's like, I can read him, and I can figure out what's bothering him. It's me. He and I are exactly the same, except that I'm younger, Cuban, female, single, and straight. So. And Scully is like, Captain Holt's not gay. Captain Holt's gay. He's like, just retire.
Seriously, just retire. Why?
And so Amy ends up catching the guy, and Holt's like, oh, you caught him. He's like, yeah, it was easy to pick out. He looked just like Sergeant Sketch. You know, he could be a professional artist, like on the boardwalk. And Terry's like, you think I should draw the caricatures? That's garbage art. I don't want giant head people on surfboards.
But I'm just saying you could. You're that good.
Yeah, yeah.
Doubles down. No, but it's really good art.
Yeah, there are so many times where I'm like, I like go down to Pike Place. I love Pike Place. And by the comic shop, there's the caricature artists. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I was like, this would be fun sometime for our family. But then at the same time, I was like, what do they see that I don't want to see? Because it's whatever that is magnified. So
only one way to find out.
I don't draw giant head people on surfboards. So, which would be great at a Seattle caricature. Everybody's just on a surfboard out in the Puget Sound, freezing. Amy is like, Captain, the credit really goes to Sergeant Jeffords. Without his refined artistic skills. And Holt's just like, finish the paperwork by noon. I want it included in the crime stats. The perp's like, I gotta say, I always had all looking pictures, but that is so flattering. Also, I'm innocent. You got the wrong guy. Amy has an idea. It's like, Sarge, will you do something for me? I want to cheer the captain up. He'll be over the moon. He may even lean back in his chair a little and nod slightly. So like that. This is why you should watch it on YouTube, guys. Like, nod back and then that. So Terry's like, there's a lot of pressure. It's got to be done right. Scully, give me my oils. Paint or massage?
He just stares at both.
Amy comes to Holt's office and says and knocks. Knock, knock. And Holt's like, you can knock with your hands. Saying it is ridiculous.
And I love the delivery too, because he doesn't even look up.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking down at his paperwork and still chastise her.
Yeah.
It's great.
Which is like a great way to communicate, like, I'm busy, I got a lot going on, and this is not important to me. So
stop being ridiculous.
Yeah. So Amy's like, well, I know you're having a bad day, and I think you're having a bad day. So to cheer you up, I had Terry do this painting to replace the photo you hated. And Holt's response is, I threw away that photo because I think it's ostentatious to hang pictures of yourself, especially when you haven't earned a place on the wall. but you would have me hang a Baroque oil painting of myself like I'm in the North Korean dictator. What? No ornate gold frame? Why am I not astride my noble steed, clad in armor? We could add, and Amy's like, we could add a horse. You just wasted your time.
That's the problem.
Yeah. You wasted your time, Terry's time, and now my time on this when you should have been filing a report on the purse snatcher. And she's like, oh, it's already in the system. And Kev's like, oh, okay. Thank you. Dismissed. So Amy is hurt by this. And so she's going to continue to solve the case of Holt's bummer attitude. And so he comes back to the office, and she's like, I figured out why you've been so tense. You're worried about the monthly crime statistics. It's like, you don't have to worry about that. It's like, well, I just checked the stats myself. Our numbers haven't improved since you got here. They're exactly the same as last month. And yay, she's so excited about it.
Yeah.
And Holt's like, is this your strategy to cheer me up? Because it's backfiring. And she's like, well, no, because this is good. Flat numbers mean that with a change, we didn't drop. And normally with a change, like a new CEO, everything drops, but we're mm-hmm. the same. And so this is good. And so people are, morale is much higher. People are working harder. You're well on your way to earning a place on that wall. And so Holt says, thank you. And she's like, you know, we're birds of a feather, you and I. And Holt's response, I hate cliches. Cliches are the worst. Okay. and so they're... Terry and Rosa are looking at the painting that he made of Holt, and Rosa says, this painting is great. And Terry's like, it's terrible. The brushwork is sloppy, poor use of negative space. I'm a fraud. And Holt, serious, straight ahead, not at all. I'd like to take this home for my husband. He'll be glad you made me look so happy. And Terry's like, I was just trying to make him look serious. I can't read him. No one can. And Amy's just like, I can. He likes it. And that's the episode.
Da-da-da-da-da.
We did it.
I like that. And I like the painting a lot. I thought it was a really good painting.
It was a good painting. And I don't think Terry actually did it.
I don't. Though on the IMDb's trivia, he actually is a pretty decent artist. And he drew pictures in order to make some extra money at the local radio station when their artist was out, because artists can't remember when to show up for work. And when he was playing football in college, he would sketch for the news station.
Okay.
And then he went to the NFL.
That's pretty cool.
And then he became.
And then he was on Expendables.
Right. Yes.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing sketches for a radio station.
No, a news station. Sorry, local news station. Oh, okay. Did I say radio?
Yeah.
Because yeah. Like, that's the kind of really art. That's amazing. The kind of art that I do. When people say you've got a face for radio, mine is more. I've got an art style for radio.
You have a visual art style for radio. It's really good.
It's really.
I mean, I'd really
like to hear.
I'd love to hear that exists. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look at it. Not just with my eyes. I would like to look at it with my ears.
Listen to this painting.
Just a lot of like scritching and scratching of like.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. Can you believe that drawing?
Oh, look at that pen work. Is that cross-hatching?
Yeah. So much cross-hatching. So yeah. So that's that episode, man.
Nice. We did it.
I think I agree with you. I think the drawing or the painting storyline.
Yeah.
I think that was a much funnier thing than the ME storyline. Personally. I would have liked more of that with Holt, people trying to figure out Holt
mm-hmm.
in this episode. But maybe they were just like, you know, this is a well that we're going to keep going back to over and over again.
Right.
So why
yeah.
not? But, you know, or even like more with Terry and the art.
Sure.
You know, something.
Just yeah. less guts.
So much less guts. I would like 100% fewer guts. If we could all just be like empty inside, that would be great.
You are gutless.
Just gutless people. So yeah, but that was that. And so we have another episode that we'll plan on talking about next week.
Heck yes.
And it is season 1, episode 5. And as it opens up here on this website that I opened,
mm-hmm.
And it's a slow website because of all the fun pop-ups.
The Vulture.
The Vulture. Oh, great. Dennis Duffy. He's great.
Dennis Duffy.
I'm glad he finally got his life together and became a police officer.
Yeah, when he's not trying to sell us on insurance.
Yeah, man, he's great.
Now you're the bird stuck up in the attic.
I'm Mayhem. What a great casting decision to have Dennis Duffy and the Vulture be the embodiment of everything that could go wrong.
Right.
Right. When he's
like, a tree branch falling. He is.
He's a mascot. He's a mascot. That's running late.
Right. He's the kids causing too much noise in the back of the truck car that makes you back into something.
Yeah.
So many of them. He's literally the bird in Larry Bird's attic. that's one of my favorite ones so far.
Yeah. It's so good.
They played it so many times during the NCAA tournament though. But yeah, he's great. He is great.
Speaking of NCAA tournament,
dummy.
One of my favorite commercials is the QQQ. I don't even know what it's for. It's like for an investment firm.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the first part is, but it ends with QQQ, which always makes me think they're shooting lasers.
Oh, it was that part. It's literally the QQQ part, not anything that preceded
it's
it.
It's like Invesco, QQQ.
Right. Like the lady who shows up at the gym who gets into the ice bath with all the actual athletes. And she goes, don't worry, I'm an investor. QQQ.
QQQ. Yeah.
I think you missed the point of that one.
I'm not much of an investor. But if they're shooting lasers, QQQ.
Invest in some of those lasers.
I'd like to invest in money lasers.
Are they starting forest fires from space?
Yeah, that person.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
She's amazing. So next week we'll be back. We'll talk more about this.
The Vulture. And the Vulture comes back a few times.
Yeah, he's a returning character.
He circles the episodes, as it were.
Yeah, like there's a dead body.
Swoop in. Yeah.
He swoops. Okay. Cheryl. Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Well, next week, and we'll do more of this because we're getting going.
I mean, this is the three-peat.
This
is
right.
No, this is the repeat.
No, this repeat.
And then next would be the three-peat.
Three in a row.
I can do it. I don't have anything planned for next Friday. I'm just gonna sit at home. Because we record on Fridays, listener, even though it comes out on Thursdays. It takes me a long time to edit this. You don't want to hear the raw cut.
You should hear what doesn't make it.
All of the, hey, you ready? It takes me so long to take that out. It's tough. It's tough
at being the very a podcaster. End, we're like, oh man. Well,
yeah, the end next of week. The end of the thing is like, how do we stop? So
I'm saying goodbye.
Okay, I'm going to hit this stop recording button. I found it. So I'll see you later, Jeremy.
See ya.